This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour 3 kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hour 3 headlines, Draven Fine, collision course, right meow.
Going to start with some more kind of Olympic news, golf news, COVID news all together. How about it? The whole John Rahm, oh my goodness, poor John Rahm, as he tested positive for COVID again, despite being fully vaccinated and everything like that. He tested positive and was unable to compete for Spain in the Olympics, so kind of an L for him. We also had, Bryson DeChambeau not competing as well in the Olympics, so getting kind of crazy. And then I guess the kind of the buzz over the weekend related to COVID as well was the NFL. I don't know if you guys talked about this any last week. I'm not sure when this report came out, but I want to get you guys' thoughts on just the kind of backlash that the NFL got from players as they pretty much said, you don't have enough players where you're going to forfeit games. And the vaccination situation is kind of getting a little hectic in the NFL, John.
Yeah, you had over the weekend a Minnesota Vikings offensive line coach.
That's right.
Fired/let go. I don't know, what the official term was there, but he didn't want to get vaccinated. And they said, cool, see ya.
Right.
Nuke Hopkins was chirping, too.
I mean, he talked about his whole future in the NFL, too. Yeah. Just not even just this year. I mean, talking about not even playing in the NFL in general. So
retire then, bro.
Is that how you feel?
Retire.
So you don't think that the players...
You got a problem with it, retire.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily fair, just because you're in a career, a job, and doing things that are a little questionable or whatever doesn't mean you should just retire and not fight back in this kind of situation.
If it's bad, you're not going to win the fight. If it's bad on your mental health, if you can't handle the stress and you don't want to get vaccinated, quit. If it was a requirement here at the radio, you would have the same choices. People talk about the Constitution, all these things. Quit. If you don't want to do it, quit. Or, no one's even saying you have to get vaccinated to play. That's the thing. It's not even hey, you have to get vaccinated or you can't work. It's not that. It's just you got to deal with the being the bad guy if we, have to forfeit these games. You have to have different rules.
Does that not make it worse, though? The NFL because the NFL is just kind of not saying it, but saying it, basically.
Well, the NFL wants to force the vaccine.
But they're essentially doing that with all the requirements and guidelines and everything that you still have to follow if you're not vaccinated.
Well, they're not trying to they're not forcing them. I would say the NFL is hoping that it will incentivize teams to incentivize their players to get vaccinated. But they're not making it. It's just you might be the reason your team forfeits and all your teammates and your opponents lose their game check. If you can live with that stress, you'd rather handle that than not get vaccinated than you have that option, which is, kind of what Hopkins said, which was basically I don't want to let my teammates down, which is basically the pressure there would, is making it feel uncomfortable to not get the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
But Jalen Ramsey came out and said, look, if nobody in my team, in my locker room gets vaccinated, we have to forfeit. I'm not going to hold them responsible. So it's kind of, the contract situations when a player holds out or wants a new money and you're hey, we appreciate you got to do what's best for you and your family, right? That's kind of how the locker room always says. Well, you're not supposed to count somebody else's money. So I'd imagine it'd be the same way about, vaccinations. Hey, you got to do what you got to do until the actual game checks gets missed, and then people are going to be mad at you.
Well, that's what I was going to say. This isn't even just game checks. You're talking, completely forfeiting a game. That could be costly for a team trying to win Super Bowl or whatever. Get a division victory. That's pretty huge.
If you're Terrell Pryor and you're hey, the team's wanting to give me a workout, but I have to be vaccinated and I don't know about it. Bro, you should be begging for a job.
Yeah.
You don't get to come in here and play oh man, should I do it or not? Because that's going to be the reality for a lot of these fringe guys. DeAndre Hopkins, the Cardinals ain't going to cut him for not getting vaccinated, but undrafted free agent trying to make the team and you ain't vaccinated, you probably got less of a chance to make the team because you are going to be more of a risk. And the NFL is all about associating, you know, risk and rewards, and that's how anything is. If you're talented, you can get involved different things. If you're untalented, you better be there working hard and doing everything the team asks you.
Another argument, though, for the players, and this kind of brings me to my next headline, is, I mean, you had, what, Frank Reich tested positive despite being fully vaccinated. He still tested positive. Wouldn't that be another argument for the players? It's like, hey, we still got John Rahm testing positive despite being fully vaccinated. We got a coach in the NFL who just tested positive. It's kind of already a sticky spectrum at that point. Like, what happens when you do test positive and you are vaccinated?
Well, I know
what
I know, like, in college baseball, they said, like, hey, with the North Carolina State issues, like, only the players who weren't vaccinated got tested, and then they tested positive. So, like, I don't know if the NFL has something similar, whereas, like, hey, you're vaccinated, you test positive. Like, are we going to test you? I know, like, to get out of the protocol, they said it was a lot, like, less. You get, like, a day. Like, Wright could be out of it within a day or two.
Yeah.
Which obviously would make it more likely they could play if he had tested positive on Monday or Tuesday or whatever. But, I mean, at the same time, no, I mean, it's a fair question because it happened to Chris Paul as well. I mean, Chris Paul was vaccinated and missed a couple games in the Western Conference Finals. I just know the NFL is not going to, like, mess the money up. The NFL and these teams ain't going to let somebody mess the money up. And now that these owners are responsible for, like, making up the money lost, these guys are going to be under pressure from their bosses to get the test. Or get the vaccine, excuse me, get the shot. You just have to make a decision of, you know, do you stand for it or are you willing to risk it?
Yeah. Got Cole Beasley hated, though.
Yeah.
The whole Bills locker room was just completely divided.
Crazy.
Like, it might force him into retirement, yeah.
Yeah, like, anti-vax stance, is it a belief that it doesn't work? It's like, why are people so, like,
some of that.
Against it?
Yeah, it's some of that. And, like, you know, especially in the black community, we've talked about it, there is distrust among vaccines because of a pretty racial history with the Tuskegee experiments, like, where, you know, the syphilis vaccine, and basically they were, you know, not treating these men with syphilis, and they were getting sick and dying and things like that. Like, it's there's some distrust there, and, you know, there is a anti-vaccine portion of America anyways that you've seen, and usually they've been, like, white Facebook moms that believe in, like, herbal tea and try to sell you stuff, but, like, there is some people there that aren't that don't want to get shots, and people feel like it's been rushed, and they want the choice and all this stuff. Like, there's different reasons. It's also been politicized.
Yeah.
It's a right-left thing type of thing at this point, and, you know, I'm not going to fault anybody that doesn't want it. I'm not going to try to force it on them. I got mine. Can't really see straight sometimes. Feel a little lightheaded.
Not too bad, though, huh?
I'm just kidding. I didn't have any side effects at all.
Built different.
But you can still get, I mean, you can still get the COVID. You know, people are still getting the COVID, as John Rahm has proven and as Chris Paul has proven. So who knows?
Some non-related COVID news. We have a couple more headlines in the NFL. What, DeAndre Hopkins becoming the highest paid receiver over the weekend, getting that contract extension. I believe he gets, what, around $27 million? I believe that was the number. Hopkins.
He got a new deal?
Yeah, he got an extension.
Where did I miss this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess.
Deserving or no?
I mean, he's really good. I don't know. He's not going to affect winning in Arizona, though.
Yeah. But, yeah.
In my opinion. I mean, he's really good, though.
Went ahead and locked him up. Again, he has $27.25 million. The next highest paid receiver, Julio, at 22. So it was a pretty big increase. He did still have 3 years remaining on his deal, but they went ahead and did that. And you know what? Shout out to DeAndre Hopkins as well, because he's actually his own agent. He does not have an agent either.
That is cool.
Yeah. He does everything himself and was able to work out this deal and, like I said, pretty much become the highest paid receiver as of right now. So pretty cool. Other NFL news, we had, let's see, talked about Frank Reich getting booted. Bengals signed defensive end Sam Hubbard to a contract extension, not that big of a deal. We had, the video of Tom Brady coming out, him throwing to the
That was fake.
That was fake.
Is it fake?
Yeah, it's fake. You fell for it?
We confirmed that it's fake.
You're
by
such
the way,
a mark.
Have we confirmed that it's fake?
Well, I mean, I wasn't there.
It's the talk around the town.
Everyone knows it's fake. Even with half a brain,
let me watch
knows
this
it's fake.
Video again.
Did you think Kobe Bryant actually jumped over that car that one time in that commercial?
He didn't.
Come on. You thought that was real?
Well, what's the point of him doing it if it's not real?
Do you think the ball would actually go back in that way? Do you know how jug machines work?
I do know how jug machines work.
I would think so as a former wide receiver.
I was, indeed.
You would think you would have known that.
I think it would.
They're spinning. You think he throws it hard over, it's going to go in?
It's just going to shoot off one of the
I think
wheels.
If you had it at a somewhat of a lower speed, then yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Possibility.
All right. I used to just think it was the boomers on Facebook calling for all the fake news, but it is not.
Did anybody ever confirm that it was fake? Like, it looked
did
a little.
Did
I thought that at first.
Did anybody have to verify
it? I thought
it
was at first, but it's almost like, what's the point of doing it if it's fake then, right?
Just to be funny. Just to be good at the internet.
Tom Brady's a troll. That's what he's been doing lately.
I thought it was kind of cool,
that's
honestly.
Beautiful.
Cool idea. Chandler Jones requested a trade from the Cardinals as well. Kind of went under the radars over the weekend.
He's probably like, hey, I want a new deal, and they're giving DeAndre Hopkins all his new money. How about giving me a contract?
Yeah. Guy that
gave JJ Watt all that money. How about giving me?
He did come off torn ACL, torn Achilles last year, so kind of dealing with that.
Was it both? Seems like a tough combo.
I think it was just Achilles, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. But either way, yeah, I think he's wanting a little bit more money, so could be some value there. I believe, 20 sacks just a couple years ago? Led the NFL in sacks just a couple years ago before the injury? So
got some Tennessee football headlines. I believe for the first time in 91 years, Tennessee will go to Alabama and serve as their homecoming game.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Alabama has scheduled Tennessee as their homecoming game this year.
That's tough.
Hmm.
That's tough.
Also got some big Tennessee football news to get to next segment. But before I do, I'll give you one more headline on the way out. As apparently Kanye West's Donda album listening party in Mercedes-Benz Stadium broke the Apple Music Global live stream record with over 3.3 million views.
Wow.
Haters jeez. Like Draven.
He just wants attention, John.
He got the attention, didn't
3.3
he?
3.3 million.
He views. Got the attention.
What a guy. Biggest rock star in America.
Is he?
Name one bigger.
Drake.
Dave Grohl.
Drake.
Drake's not a rock star.
He's bigger than Kanye. You don't think Drake's bigger than Kanye?
No, especially not generating buzz. Not doing. Not
come
being,
on.
Not
I don't
famous.
Know if that's true.
Not being famous. Do you see? Nah, whatever. I'm not arguing with you about this. Another.
Every song Drake has is a bop. You hear
no,
it all
fine.
The whole entire summer
no,
when it comes out.
That's fine. At this point, Drake's better at making music. I will give you that. That doesn't mean he's a bigger rock star, though.
That's true.
You don't see him walking around with his face in a face mask and a big red bubbly suit. That's a rock star move.
Oh, is that?
You got Drake hanging out. He's got Drake hanging out 15-year-olds basketball games. You don't even have a kid. It's not really a rock star move.
Hanging out with the moms.
We'll get into Tennessee football after the break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. This segment is brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, call them at 865-558-8030 or visit online at g3helpme.com. They've been serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. Let the G3 team get you the money that you deserve. That's g3helpme.com. Tennessee on the schedule for homecoming this year in Alabama.
Who's our homecoming? Georgia?
Georgia
correct?
Is
what are we doing?
Our homecoming.
What the
so
heck?
We're going to have the honor of probably, most likely, almost guaranteed, being 0-2 on homecomings this year.
Did we ask for Georgia? Don't you like have some sort of like pick of who's your homecoming opponent?
Yeah, no, we made it Georgia. I don't know why, because I mean our non-conference games are right around there too at the beginning of November, but we said, hey, give us Georgia.
Oh, all right.
I don't.
Bold take, God. Let's see if it plays out.
I don't know. Maybe. Would that have been maybe an effort to try to like get people to go to the game and not let like Georgia overtake
who
the stadium?
Who gives a rip about homecoming though? Like I don't think anybody.
I think some people do use that as an excuse to come into town. Not,
the only thing I could think of is a reason to like wear alternate jerseys or something. Do something cool like that. Like wear black or gray or something. Because
black to your own funeral, man.
I mean, what else could it be though? Like honestly, why else would you schedule that
like
other
I said,
than have like
to
some
maybe
sort...
like have a built-in reason to try to get people in the building.
Yeah,
like the parades and or you know the homecoming court and all whatever the hell they do.
I guarantee.
Yeah,
you
do
we'll
they
wear.
Do that in college? Like homecoming king and queen?
They do, don't they? They have like a student body. Queen
I don't
and queen,
know.
Don't
do
they?
I've never voted on
know.
It or heard of it.
Are you sure? I thought there
was. I mean,
was.
They might.
I'm sure there was
something with the frats and the sororities where they do something like that. Yeah, I was going to say.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe I thought they still voted on like King Queen. Maybe it's just like best float. I don't know. There is something though, I thought.
I was a little out of touch. I wasn't, you know, putting in the most effort to try to vote for the homecoming queen. I mean,
and I definitely didn't go to the homecoming games on
Saturday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
More important things to do because usually they were bought wins. But I promise you, good Tennessee football news. Not that we're going to get slaughtered on both of our homecomings, but that you know, the number one player in the state of Tennessee, in some eyes, the number one player in the country, Walter Nolan, continues to gain steam with Tennessee. Ronnie Garner doing a great job recruiting him, got Tennessee back in the mix. Tennessee's actually received another of the Rival casts. They've gotten two of the last predictions over on Rivals. And the news now that Walter Nolan is moving to East Tennessee, right up the road, to play for the Powell Panthers.
Wow.
Hmm.
That seems like a pretty big deal to get this guy, what, 20 minutes away from campus?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, why Powell?
Is Powell not really good?
They are.
Are they?
Yeah, no, they've been good.
I guess
in my head,
I would just instantly think of move to, like, a Maryville. Move to, like, an Alcoa type that has at least more clout behind their
name. I mean, that's kind of a good point, too, though. I mean, Maryville's, like, bigger, too. It's more prominent. I know Powell's,
like
a little bit of
a
smaller.
ESPN televises a couple of their games.
Yeah. Because,
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the reason is. I don't know if there's somebody.
I was going to say, got to be some sort of coach or something out there that
may
be pulling.
Yeah, or a family member in the area. I mean,
yeah, right.
To just justify that move there. But, you know, he was coached by Marlon Walls at St. Benedict's at Auburndale, former Vol. Marlon Walls was his coach over in Memphis. It says that Nolan's family moves in the area for work.
Mm. Okay.
So there we go.
Is this a big deal, though? Do we feel that much more confident that he'd come to Tennessee just because he's in East Tennessee? Like,
well,
we haven't recruited in our own state. Very well.
I mean, I would say that the momentum had shifted before this.
Yeah.
In terms of feeling better about your chances of getting him, because you had, like I said, some predictions rolling in. You went from not making his top 8 or top 10, whatever it was, a couple months ago, to being in his last 4 when he updated his graphics. So, like, you had made some room, you'd made some progress. He said he's got to say Coach G, which I assume is Garner and the recruiting staff. That's what his dad said. When they came in from day one, when they got there, they were like, we have to have Walter. He's a top priority for us. Just looking at Coach G's body of work, 30-plus years, multiple kids in the NFL. He is really good at what he does, so that was a big plus for them. Again, we know that we have one recruiter on the staff right now, and it's Ronnie Garner. And, you know, he is trying to get you in with the biggest player in the state, literally, and maybe the best player in the country. And, you know, I'm not going to be pessimistic about this. Even if he commits to Tennessee, I know people are going to say, oh, well, just wait. You got to make sure he signs the paper. He can change his mind. I'm not even going to say that, because I think being just in the mix for this guy is a huge, huge win for Tennessee, for Josh Heupel, and, of course, for Ronnie Garner. I think getting this guy to even show you interest is a big, big deal. I think if you were able to get a commitment out of him, which I don't know when his recruitment will shut down. Usually these top-level prospects, it goes pretty much all the way to signing day, right? Like, usually these guys make their announcement on signing day. They do the whole ceremony. So this might be something that you have to, you know, sweat out one way or the other up until then. I don't think you can really win Walter Nolan over between now and then, like, for sure. I think you can lose him if the season goes really poorly. Like, I think you could look around and say, yeah, this ain't for me. But I do think, Draven, to answer your question, him being 20 minutes from the school is going to help. And I do think him being a star in East Tennessee is going to help. And I think if I'm Ronnie Garner, you know, maybe I'm used to dropping bags off, whatever, but now you got legal bags off. If I'm Ronnie Garner, I'm making sure my staff here at Tennessee is going through back channels and making sure that we know that Walter Nolan is going to be a star, and having him some endorsement deals lined up pretty much day one. And I know you can't use that as your official recruiting pitch in terms of, we got this contract for you. But, like, hey, when you get here, trust me, we'll take care of you. You're going to be the biggest star, because we've asked on this team, who is the biggest star? Who is your pitch man? We don't really have one. Cade Mays is pretty much it. What's Cade Mays got in common with Walter Nolan? 5-star from East Tennessee. Like, he could come in day one and be the biggest, most famous player on your team. And you can look and say, you know, Ronnie Garner does have a history of putting A lot of guys in the NFL.
Yep.
Now, again, I think even best case scenario, Tennessee is just going to be on that table for signing day. Right?
Does that make you feel any better, though?
No,
honestly,
no, no.
I mean,
it makes me feel better than the alternative of not being on there. But what I was going to say, like, that's the best case scenario, is like, you're not going to have the official commitment before then, I don't think. And even if you do, you're going to have to like go down to signing day. Like, this is what happens when you recruit the best players in the country. I was going to say, worst case scenario is you just, you know, you lose this relationship and you prove that you can't coach defense and like it makes sense for him to go elsewhere.
Well, it's just also, it's kind of going to make me more sick at the end of the fact, because it's hard not to get excited about this guy. Like you said, I mean, could be literally the biggest name on the team if he joined right now.
Sure.
But at the same time, and then you tell me he's right, you know, in the backyard and all that, and that gets everybody all excited. And then so it's also like, well, we're also going to be probably pretty terrible the next year. We might have a bowl ban like the next couple of years. Like, there's no appeal whatsoever. We could get this guy the greatest endorsement possible in Knoxville, and I don't think that would help shift his decision over potentially going somewhere and obviously winning and having all that success.
Well, I will say that the NCAA bans, the bowl bans, whatever, that does seem to be less of a fear now. When the NCAA basically came out and was like, hey, we need to be less punitive in these things. We kind of just need to let bygones be bygones in some of these instances, because the name, image, and likeness is going to make us look like hypocrites. Like, we need to just chill out because we are now in bed with this. Let's just not punish. So I do know Tennessee feels better about their chances of maybe just having a one-year bowl ban, which won't affect Walter Nolan, won't affect this recruiting class. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, maybe that being enough with the also, like, the scholarship reductions that Tennessee is self-imposing. So the NCAA stuff might not be as bad as we were worried about. But, like, I mean, again, Tennessee does have a history, both historically and with your defensive line coach, of putting guys in the NFL at the defensive line. You know, there are Tennessee greats on the defensive line. That's still something you can point to. You know, not in too distant memory, you still had Derek Barnett, who was a stud, a first-round pick, a great college player. And then, of course, if you're a defensive tackle, you know, Haynesworth and Henderson. You're not too far away from that. Reggie White, maybe the greatest defensive lineman of all time. Or, you know, one of. And then, again, the list of guys that Rodney Garner has put in. You know, five NFL first-round draft picks just from his time at Georgia. Did some of that at Auburn as well. Has done it at Tennessee. Like, he has a long list of guys he has helped put in the league. But again, you say, like, is it something to get excited about? I mean, we need some excitement. If I'm Josh Heupel, this feels like a recruiting win just being mentioned. Getting him in East Tennessee feels like a recruiting win. And again, we need these when it comes to recruiting, because so far we ain't had much. Now, I will say, I don't know if it's a chicken or the egg situation, but you did have some Tennessee guys go up in the ratings. I don't know if you saw that.
Really?
247 did their updated top 300. The quarterback you had went from like 380, I think, up to, I want to say, inside the top 200 now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You had another, you had a tight end pick up a fourth star. So, like, you had some improvements there. Which, again, doesn't say that, hey, recruiting's going, you know, great now, everything's fine. But I will say, like, you got a little bit of hope now, a little bit of optimism. A little bit. Like I said, Taven Jackson inside the top 300. He's at 291 now. I thought maybe, was it Rivals that updated? Maybe Rivals did a new update. But you have some momentum in recruiting. And, again, we're grasping at anything here. At Tennessee, right? Yeah. We're grasping at anything.
Taking the little things.
I mean, you got to.
Yeah.
You got to. It's just the way it is. We ain't had a lot of success. And again, we've been very worried about recruiting, and I think we have to take the good with the bad. And, you know, I do think we have to praise it, and maybe it's something that doesn't matter. Maybe he still doesn't come here. But I do think if you're Tennessee, again, you gotta stop and be happy for something. In my opinion, it's better than the alternative, right? Of him just ignoring you and you're not even getting like a seat at the table with a top 100 player or a top 5 player, you know, in your state.
Yeah. Top 3 nationally.
Top 3 nationally. It's a big deal.
That is.
Insane, yeah.
Now, you know, will he come here and affect winning? I don't know. I mean, like, you know, Khalil McKenzie was in a similar situation. He didn't come here and do much. I don't know if this guy is wired the same way. I mean, it's not guaranteed to be great, but, like, it's hope. It'd be something that would give Josh Heupel some momentum. And, again, if you're him, you become a pretty big star here in your home state. Money-wise, name, image, likeness stuff, that stuff matters. And this is a guy that you can use that. And, like I said, him being 20 minutes away from your campus now is a pretty big deal. Let's go to break. We'll come back. We'll play some winners and losers of the weekend. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. It's Monday. It is 2:30. Let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Draven, hit the music.
Winners.
I don't want to hear that. Let's go to some winners.
I was excited, man.
Hit me
you
with
know
some
I
winners.
Love to
sing. Who won the weekend?
You say who won?
Who won the weekend?
We start with winners?
We
okay.
We start with winners all the time. I know you don't usually get to play, but we start with winners all the time.
I feel like you should start with losers, end on winners. Either way, you do your thing. I'm just part of it. First winner of the weekend, number three winner of the weekend, Hidaline Diaz. Do you know who that is, John?
Not.
Weightlifter from the Philippines who ended a 97-year drought by winning a gold medal this past weekend.
What did he win it in?
It was a woman.
Oh, what did she win it in?
She won the 55-kilogram weightlifting at the Tokyo Games. She lifted an overall 224 kilograms. Woof. A lot of weight.
I could do that.
Could you? Tough guy. Kilograms. So how much would that be?
What was the number?
1,000 grams, right?
220. How many kilograms did she lift?
227.
500 pounds.
500 pounds.
I can't do that.
I was gonna say I was way off. I was thinking a whole.
She was doing.
Crazy
now, what'd
number.
She do that in? She did a. That was a deadlift or a what?
Let's see. It says weightlifting. So.
The cleans that they get it up over their head too.
I think so. Yeah.
No way. She's not doing 500 pounds above her head.
You sure?
No, I'm not. But I'd be really surprised.
That's a world record.
Do you know what she won or not?
It was the weightlifting. Weightlifting.
I think it's just deadlift, right?
It has to be, right?
I think that's just the deadlift.
Yeah.
But there is. I thought there is one where they have to go above their head, too, but I don't know.
It doesn't really say.
I didn't watch Olympic weightlifting. There was also the guy who won.
With an overall lift for of 200. Yeah, I don't know.
Wasn't there also the swimmer who started like eighth? Or like qualified eighth and was like in the far lane and then like won, socked everyone?
Really?
With a gold medal, I thought. Either way, whatever. Okay, next.
Yeah, she's doing the...
She's going all the way above her head?
Looks like it. It shows the picture, and she's, like, pushing it up above her head.
All right.
So...
All right,
yeah.
Never mind.
Don't you disrespect Hidaline Diaz.
I definitely can't do that.
It's pretty impressive.
It's very, very
and again,
impressive.
97-year drought. 97-year drought.
It's going to be so sad.
First ever.
When we find out she was on steroids and the pressure that from the trying to be the country's first person. But you're right. That is a huge accomplishment, and good for her.
Good for her. Number two.
227 was apparently split between two events, by the way.
Oh, so it was all together.
She did, yeah. So basically, did she do half one time, half the other time? Essentially, I mean, she might have went up a little bit. That checks out more.
An overall
she would
lift. Okay, that does make more
between
sense.
Between this, and I didn't even call you out for it on the air, but like the DeAndre Hopkins extension, you're doing bad at reading the internet today. I'm
that
not going to be too bad.
Listen,
been,
I was going to say, week off, okay? Little rusty.
That's what I was about to say.
Little rusty.
So she had a 97-kilogram snatch and a 127 clean and jerk, which appreciate BJ for the help. I don't know what the hell a snatch is. Yeah. The clean and jerk.
Wait, a snatch, I think that is where you go up, right? Isn't a snatch where you go up?
Is that where you go up?
I think, and then you hold it, maybe.
I thought the clean and jerk was where you went above, but maybe that's just, is that where you do the deadlift? Give me a second. We got a resident weightlifter in our, both events go over the head. Okay, so they both go over the head.
Okay.
I don't know the difference between a snatch and a clean and jerk, but she went stronger on the clean and jerk and won and got a gold. So good for her. All right, good. I'm going to read the internet wrong again.
I didn't necessarily read it wrong.
Yeah, it made us think it was at one time. I was like, how the hell did she lift 500 pounds above her head at one time? That seems absurd.
It does say overall. I guess should have mentioned that. I feel like, man, either way.
Well, the snatch is like the whole entire movement, the one fluid
motion. So you don't
stop
at all. You just go straight up.
Yeah.
Oof.
be a lot. How much weight was that one you said on the snatch?
That was the 97 kilograms, which would be basically, what, 200 pounds, essentially, roughly?
Yeah.
If 227 was roughly 500, it'd be basically 220 pounds or so.
Yeah, it makes sense.
That was pretty good, 213.
213.
Okay. The big thing here, 97-year drought, okay?
No, that's a huge thing.
I was going to say, that's pretty crazy, okay?
Then I was just trying to wonder, because, I mean, okay, yeah, okay. That's just, again, you said 500 pounds above her head, I was like, I'm not buying that.
Still pretty impressive. Number two winner, staying in the Olympics, mentioned her, Reagan Smith, setting an Olympic record.
Oh, no.
That's an Olympic record.
No. They're passing the record back and forth. The record's going to get broken again tonight. I guarantee it. There's my lock of the night. That record, assuming that this is tonight, I assume it's tonight, the finals of the 100-meter backstroke, the world record is going to, the Olympic record especially, is getting broke tonight. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
So she better win gold. If she's got the world record, she better win gold.
I feel like a world record in the Olympics, though, is still, I mean.
It is, but, again, somebody just said it the night before, the race before, I'm pretty sure. Like, they were just kind of passing it back and forth. They did a whole thing about how it's been, like, broken, like, pretty much every race from 2017 on. These girls are just getting faster. But we'll see. Like I said, tonight is going to get broken again.
Okay.
That's my take.
All right.
I'm excited for that race for some reason.
You like watching it? Get excited?
I really get pumped in the 4x100 relay. I'm glad we won last night. Wasn't close. It was close in the second leg, but then we pulled away.
Hmm. Okay. Number one winner of the weekend.
Wish I could do the turn on the wall.
The turn?
I can't do a turn.
You could swim.
Oh, those are fun.
I don't know if I consider myself a good swimmer. I feel like I swim faster than I run. Well, I mean, I don't know about literally, but I just mean like comparatively, like
yeah,
racing okay. people.
Right.
I feel better about my racing skills in the pool. Again, one way. The turn, can't do the turn. Can't do the turn.
It's not easy.
Yeah, it's really impressive. I can't do that. I mean, I feel like if I had any training, I could, but I'm just a attack the water guy for one way down.
I gotcha. Number one winner of the weekend, Luca.
Oh,
God.
Luca.
Oh, my God.
You're waiting to put that up,
Luca.
There.
What a joke!
48 points in an Olympic game, carrying them to victory.
Training wheels on
and
this guy.
Like honestly, just the fact that we're having a conversation that he could get a medal is pretty crazy.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's
that
pretty
he
impressive.
Could get a medal?
Yes.
That he could
with Slovenia? Yes.
That he could?
Yes, with Slovenia. Yes.
You drop LeBron James on there with Slovenia. I don't think we'd be talking about. Oh, it'd be great if he could get a gold medal. It'd be like, oh, he should get a medal, not could. Take the kids' gloves off of this guy. My goodness. My winners of the weekend, number three, I went with Ted Lasso. Season 2 premiered.
Yes.
Ted Lasso back. Okay. Jason Sudeikis back. Great first episode. Everyone talking about it. It's just a great show. Just makes everybody happy.
It's a weekly one?
Yeah, it's a weekly one.
Okay.
That damn Apple
I've
TV
not watched
get you every week.
Single episode. I really need to watch it.
You need to watch it.
Heard it's good.
It's great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's not good. It's great.
Really?
Yeah, it's a great show. Sudeikis is great in it. I think Sudeikis is Ted Lasso. I think I was thinking about that. Like, you know, you have these career-defining roles or whatever, and that's kind of what people remember you as.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is Sudeikis's. I think he'll always be Ted Lasso now, which is a good lane to be in. It's just a positive, upbeat, kooky guy. It kind of seems like Sudeikis probably is. Anyways, that's my number three win of the weekend. Number two, let's get toxic. My second biggest win of the weekend, Ben Affleck. How about that? Ben Affleck and J-Lo.
Happened?
You didn't see him on the boat yesterday?
No,
smooching,
I did not.
Smooching.
It was her 52nd birthday. She's looking fantastic as always.
Of course.
A true goddess, really. We need to get her tested for something. There's no way that she's 52 and this is all natural. I need to.
Amen.
But there was a side-by-side picture 20 years apart, 20 years earlier, on the boat, laying, boom, hands on her booty, just massaging it. J-Lo's had a great booty for 20 years, really for probably 35 years.
Yeah.
Be careful.
To say the least.
17, okay. Let's say 34 years. Then now, today, yesterday, 20 years later, on the boat, guess what? Massaging the booty again. Ben Affleck living life. The America's toxic couple. 20 years later, you can still get back together, folks. Don't give up. He looks so happy.
What a king.
He's out there making out. Again, her birthday. He's my second biggest win of the weekend. And number one, I went with Dean Boxall, a.k.a. Australia's swim coach, a.k.a. the ultimate warrior of swim. Did you see his celebration last night, Draven?
I did.
He went full
ultimate. Got me fired up.
He went full ultimate warrior. And again, we were all sad that Katie Ledecky lost. But we kind of just overlooked it because this guy's over there going berserk, shaking the railing like he's the ultimate warrior, shaking the ropes.
That's awesome.
He's my biggest winner of the weekend. Hit me with your losers.
Losers, losers, losers. Number three, I had Jon Rahm. Twice it's going to happen to a man. I mean, at that
point. Three
like,
times.
Yeah.
Twice with the vaccine, but three
right,
times
yeah.
in general.
No, I was going to be, yeah. Like, what? I wonder what his like reaction was. Like, what do you even like really? You'd be like, really, man? Man, that's tough. Tough break for John Rahm. Tough break, really, for the whole vaccination situation anyways, when you have that headline coming out of the NFL as well. Yeah, but Rahm, number three loser of the weekend. Number two, got to go with the Big 12, man. The Big 12, they know she's getting away. They know she's getting away. Yeah. They know that heart and soul is getting away, and they're trying to pull every stop. Well,
they're really not, actually.
What are you looking for?
They're really not, actually.
I mean, they pretty much are like.
They've kind of already accepted. They're just like, just go. Like, don't antagonize me. Don't tell me that I can do anything to keep you. Just go. Just go.
It's tough.
I'm not going to beg you anymore. You know how I feel. Just get out of here.
We've all been there. Yeah. We've all been there. Tough for the Big 12. And number one loser, Draymond. What are you doing, man? I mean, like, you go, you get killed in the Olympic game by France, you get beat, embarrassing in that situation, and then you have the Instagram post where he's commenting that he's not getting pictures of himself.
And he calls
he wants to
DG.
See more Draymond. And yeah, when has he ever been referred to DG?
Yeah,
ever.
No one trying to make a nickname.
No one's ever called him DG, and also, like, that's pitiful. Like, please post pictures of me. You're not very attractive, Draymond. You don't really do anything highlight worthy. Like, what did you want? A Draymond Green appreciation post? Again, of you scoring 2 points?
Literally.
As we get our ass beat by France?
If I'm the Warriors, I'm trading his ass. I'm trading his ass after that. I'm done.
You can't trade him. He's,
why?
He's
tell
Steph's
me why.
Boy. He's Steph's boy. He's Steph's boy.
Sounds like he wants to be traded after this.
He wants a new social media intern, I think. He's sending a message to a social media intern.
What embarrassing. Goodness.
Seems a little harsh to make him the biggest loser of the weekend. But either way, my losers of the weekend. Number three, I went with Tate Martell. Tate Martell, you know him?
Mm-mm. Sounds familiar.
You guys don't know Tate Martell? He's basically been relevant your entire lives, at least as like in terms of your impressionable youth of college football fans. Tate Martell, top rated quarterback, committed to Washington in 2012. On July 25th, 2012, 9 years ago, he committed to Washington for the first time. And yesterday, he announced that he is transferring to UNLV, where he's still going to be playing college football. And he has 2 years of eligibility left. He's a guy who went from Washington, then went to Texas A&M, or committed to Texas A&M. Then they took another quarterback, then he decommitted. Then he went to Ohio State. Then he was third string. And then he was like, hey, I'm the starter. And they're like, no, you're not. So then he transferred to Miami. And then he got switched to wide receiver. And then he was awful at that. So, like, okay, you can go back to quarterback. And then he was like, okay, I'm opting out for COVID, but I'm coming back to Miami. And they're like, no, you're not. So, like, okay, I'm transferring. I'm going to UNLV. This guy's been out here for 9 years still chasing this college football dream.
Oh, my gosh.
From the first time he broke on the scene committing to a school that he decommitted from, 9 years, Tate Martell. And now it ends with you being quarterback at UNLV, which, you know, during the NIL, maybe you can make some money in and go blow it all at the casino. I don't know.
There you go. It's not bad.
He's definitely old enough to get in the casino. That's good for him.
How old is this guy?
I mean, I'm going to assume he's at least like 23 by now.
Yeah,
surely he didn't commit before he was 14, so.
Yep, 23.
He's my third biggest loser of the weekend. Number two, I went with Greg Popovich. Greg, what are you doing to your legacy, man? What are you doing?
They're scapegoating you, Greg. Got it.
They're throwing you under the bus. Then you're also coming out and praising all the other countries. Like, we're supposed to think the Americans are on an even playing field with these guys. Come on. What are we doing? I mean, what are we doing here? Number one, I have to give it to the Big 12. It's just nothing they're going to be able to do. There's nothing they're going to be able to do to keep this thing together. Who would have thought the Big 12 would fold? But here it is.
Would you want 4 more years with that special someone, even if you knew it was going to break off in 4 years, no matter what?
Does everyone know it's ending in 4 years?
Yeah,
that makes it worse.
Everybody
knows.
Every
time you go out, you're like, look at this poor schmuck.
Yeah, like everybody knows.
Look at this schlup just out here just counting down the days. You're laying there. She's counting down the days till she can get out of there.
Uh-huh.
Just 3.5 more years and I'm SEC bound. Just going through the motions. None of your victories really matter.
No.
After every defeat, it's even worse. No, I just say go now.
But pay
the TV
money.
The TV money is important. The network money is important. What do you set the over-under at? Is the over-under just 2025? Or 2024 and a half, I guess? Do you think they make it all the way to 2025 in the Big 12? Or do you think they get out before then?
No, they're going to get out.
Okay.
I give it a year max.
A year max. Like, yeah. you think Texas and Oklahoma are playing in the SEC next year?
Yeah.
I'd say 2023.
I'd say two years.
Is kind of the over-under I would
have.
Like
you said, this relationship's already over. I mean, you've already had all this come out. I feel like if you're going to come out with this now, you're intending to do something within a year.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it seems wild to me to think it'd be a year but that quickly, but maybe.
Yeah.
I don't really remember how it went for these other schools when A&M and Missouri announced their intentions. I feel like did they come over immediately? I feel like they came over. No, they had a year, right, because we knew that was the last Texas and Texas A&M game, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Tucker
won
right.
On a walk-off kick.
Mm-hmm.
Last call on the other side. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Last call here on the program, brought to you by Kraft Axe Throwing. Promo code FANRUN for 15% off your booking. Go to craftaxethrowing.com to book your lane. Walk-ins are available. It's Monday. They got the Ninja Stars out tonight. We'll throw some of the different options. Again, promo code FANRUN for 15% off. I love when people send me pictures or tell me that they're there using our promo code. Good looking out, everybody. Appreciate you. Take care of the people who take care of us. All right, let's play some Pump the Brakes. Let's keep it moving. Cam, you're up first. Oh, wait. Cam's not here. That means, Ryan, you got to save us because I'm doing too much production work over here.
All right. Florida man washes ashore. Well, evidently a Florida man washed ashore inside a bubble-like vessel on Saturday morning after an apparent attempt to walk on water. This guy responded to calls from people on the beach saying a strange vessel on the beach in the hammock area appeared out of nowhere. They opened it inside, and there was an unconscious man inside without any injuries.
So wait, what?
Yeah. Evidently, down here, right off of St. Augustine, Florida, in the beach, there was a bubble vessel. As in, like, I'm looking at it, it's, like, very cheaply put together. There are literal giant helium balloons in it. And evidently, the man was trying to raise money for charity by either going from St. Augustine to Bermuda or traveling north all the way up to New York from Florida in a bubble vessel.
Hmm.
He was really trying to get out there. He was doing something different. He said the intent was to walk on water, but when I was starting, I realized I can't walk. It's too tight of a room inside this vehicle. If you look at it, it's just, oh my gosh.
You got a picture of this thing?
Yeah. Look at this bad boy.
That just seems
right
so unnecessary.
Yeah.
And a like, lot of work.
Yeah, and like I don't get why he was trying to walk on water when clearly he was found laying unconscious beside of the beach.
How would you describe that, Draven?
That's a great question.
Just the sides, like, are those buoys in the sides? Like, rigged it up with 15 buoys on each side? Like,
yeah.
Is a wheel, like a spinning wheel?
Yeah, it's like a captain.
It looks like a hamster wheel, like, with buoys on the end of it, essentially,
yeah.
Right? It's like a rolling cage. That's buoyed up on the sides to make it float, and then he is trying to, like, would one of those bubbles not have worked better?
Yeah.
The ones,
like,
you just,
one of the,
like,
clear ones?
Walk, run around in,
I guess,
and,
they,
like,
probably wouldn't
throw
float. I guess they probably wouldn't float. Never mind. Then you'd just be trapped in a bubble. Although, like, would it not stay bounced up?
It would float, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it'd float to where you could walk on it, though.
Yeah,
I feel like you'd
not.
Fall.
You would
and then,
go
like,
down, yeah.
That'd be scary to be in it. I don't know. Would it float?
It said a couple of the balloons were popped.
Oh, those are balloons,
so
not buoys.
So a couple, no, it is buoys, though. It's alternating between giant helium balloons and buoys, creating these.
So the helium is trying to rise and keep it flowing.
Yeah.
Where was he trying to go? Like, is he just trying to walk on water and then come back? Was that the?
It said there was like he had a 50-50. He said, I was either going to try to make it to Bermuda or go up the coast. Like, this man didn't even have a concrete plan going in.
I'm shocked that he did not have a concrete plan.
Crazy.
As I see his device. Huh. Do we know how he passed out?
No. There is no report of that.
Like, he just get tired?
Exhausted,
just,
yeah. Say, right?
Encountering complications.
Heat?
Yeah.
All the helium bust in there at one time.
Yeah,
just,
no kidding.
Got him
lightheaded, yeah. Oh.
Huh.
Did you track anything down, Draven?
I did not.
You can always rely on a good Florida man for a story, right?
Draven just brings us nothing to the table during this segment.
I don't know where you guys get these crazy headlines. I should have hit up Cam. Cam, I'm sure, has his little source something.
Let's see. I got Tennessee basketball updates in the 2021 NBA draft. It's this weekend.
Ooh. Pump your brakes, kid.
That's right. I stopped myself because we don't have any other stories. All right, got some updated. Got some bad news for Keon Johnson.
No, is he dropping again?
Keon Johnson, well, not again, but he has just kind of solidified. He's gone from top 10 guy pretty much universally to now he is a late teens guy.
Eesh, man.
We had him down at 20th last week. Now Sports Illustrated and ESPN both kind of confirm, or they're in lockstep, that he is projected number 16.
Has there been things that have happened in between then? They have other
drills
and camps.
I think people are worried about a shooting.
But, I mean, wasn't it, didn't we all say, like, athleticism? I mean, he broke the high jump record.
Yeah,
like, wasn't that enough to at least get you in the top 10 just based on that?
Apparently not.
Huh.
I'm surprised, though, between his athleticism and what he put on tape in terms of defense.
Right.
I mean, he was a pretty good defender
that
he is falling. But maybe he won't when it comes time for the actual draft, but he is sliding. And, you know, when people rise, some people have to fall, and it does seem like he has been the guy. Although, I mean, I would be surprised if there are many people that were in the top 10 that were thought of to be as raw as he is.
Yeah.
You know, he's a pretty raw prospect in terms of his actual basketball skills. But I don't know if this is going to matter for Tennessee basketball and Rick Barnes in terms of, like, kind of the slide that he's had. And, you know, maybe that if he gets picked apart and, you know, looks at, well, is Rick Barnes helping these guys enough? Because, I mean, if you're recruiting elite prospects, you know, that's important. But on the other hand, Tennessee's having two first-round picks, and that's never happened before. At least they're projected, although Jaden Springer in the latest 26th and 30th. So, like, he's down in the bottom five of the first round as well. So there's a chance he might slide out of the first round. There's questions about him when it comes to his playmaking and basketball ability as well.
So are they kind of in the same – we'll put them in the same, like – bubble of prospects right here, as in, like, Keon was the lottery pick. He looked like he had all the crazy potential, and then since he slid all the way down here, and Springer going to be comparable?
I mean, if they're, I mean, the last couple of mocks have had them, you know, the ones we looked at last week where had them at like 20 and 21, right?
Yeah.
Back to back.
I still think
Keon's going to go ahead of him, and I would still think he'd go 7 or 8 spots ahead of him, but, you know, on one hand, if you go later in the draft, it's better to get on a better team. But if you're Keon, it's going to cost you some money. But you might be like, hey, we're at least avoiding the Sacramento Kings.
That's all you got to do.
If we avoid the Sacramento Kings, maybe that's better for my long-term career. But something to keep an eye on. The draft is Thursday, so we'll have kind of an answer here.
Coming up.
You know, I still think the Vols get 2 first-round picks. That's important. But both guys kind of sliding at this point. Not really what you wanted to see. It didn't really help their stock. Which kind of hurt it. Russell Smith, The Drive, coming up next. Good job by you guys. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.